the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee.
We are waiting on you. This here is the Word of the King on the Success Radio Network. We are waiting for Evangelist Timothy Gruber to begin his show here. Just wanting to remind everybody that you can contribute to the Word of the King by going to Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Click Sow the Seed Ministries, and then when you go down that page, you'll find the Love Offerings link for Brother Timothy Gruber, and you'll be able to make a donation there. Also, you could just go to the homepage of Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go straight down to the bottom, click the Love Offerings link there to make a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, or you could send any check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. May that make that payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, make any check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. If you wish to send any donation to the Success Radio Network, you have three options. You could contact PayPal, go to paypal.com, and enter the email address 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Or if you're a Cash App user, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you entered the amount of your love gift, and all love gifts are greatly appreciated, and each recipient greatly thanks you, and God will richly bless you. And, of course, also with the Six Eyes Radio Network, you can contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. Just in your subject line, put donation information requested in the body of your email. Just indicate you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information for that check or money order. Amen. Okay. Try again. Try click on his mic again to open that up.
It's definitely on.
Well, like I said, just try clicking it again. It might be the blog talk that's not opening his mic.
It says it's a live mic.
It's showing that you have an open mic, so you must have yourself on mute, so... What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and play his first clip because he dropped here, and we'll just wait on him to return. So here is the first clip that Tim had us okay. Tim is trying a different number. Here we go. We're going to try to see if we can get him to get his mic going.
Kenny, can you hear me?
Yeah, you go. There you go, Tim. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you. Hello. Shalom. Coming to you from Israel, city of Tel Aviv, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, with another edition. Here are the word of the king, verses 1 through. Man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God, be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king, there is power, and he may say unto him, what doest thou? Again, when we speak of the word of the king in the English language, we speak of the King James Authorized Version of 1611. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power, you may say unto him, what doest thou? Here on this edition of the word of the king, we're going to be discussing numerous things, and we're going to get into Psalm 91, the book of Psalms. Just turn to Psalm 91 a while. And even as Kenny was already telling you how you can contribute, yeah, they were having issues with the mic there for some reason, there with that app that I had called in with the first time. I'll just go ahead and remind you, if you want to send a check or money order to support the work here at the Word of the King, Sowers of Seed Ministries, in conjunction with Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you can write that check or money order out to my Father after the flesh, Joel Groover. It's Joel, J-O-E-L, just like the prophet, Joel, J-O-E-L. And then last name, Groover, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R. And you can have that sent to the following address, 2976 Honey, H-O-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And my dad will see to it that gets cash put into my account. And I just want to thank you even now for any contributions that you make to the work of Holy Spouse of the Blind, the Word of the King, Sowers of Seed Ministries, Six Eyes Radio. And also, I would encourage you, Kenny, of course, he already told you about our website, Holiness Bibles to the Blind, www.holiness, H-O-L-Y, is in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles, for, F-O-R, the blind, .org. And I would also encourage you to check out Dave Hodges' The Common Sense Show. That's Dave Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S. The Common Sense, S-E-N-S-E, show.com. And also, Doug Thornton. That's Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N, American Vindicta. It's American Vindicta, V as in Victor, I-N-D as in Daniel, I, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A. Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. You just put that in your search engine, click search, and you should pull up his blog there, an American Vindicta Show, and also the audio is at gsradio.net. And then there's also the website, the blog of ClaimTheFaith.org. That's www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. And finally, there's the website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. If you have any questions or comments concerning anything you hear on this edition or any other edition of the Word of the King, you may forward those questions and those comments to me at the following email address, thewordoftheking, AV1611@hotmail.com. That's the word of the king. A as in Adam, V as in Victor, 1611@hotmail.com. And on that note, I will now open us up in a word of prayer, and then Brother Kenny will play our first recording here for this edition of the Word of the King. And before too long here, I will have this brother in the Lord, this gentleman, Tim Behrens, give some testimony concerning the day that we had here just recently in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, with our dear friend and brother in the Lord, Mike Cahill. Let's open up in a word of prayer now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do ask you, dear Lord God, to, again, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord God, grant me the demonstration, the power, and the unction of your spirit, clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, and also for Mr. Behrens as well, Lord God, if he has what time he has to speak, Lord God, and Lord, for everybody listening, dear Lord God, that you would also, dear Lord God, to help them, dear Lord God, to all the more receive understanding from you, dear Lord God, and all the more receive edification and encouragement from your word, dear Lord God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for anyone listening who has yet to believe on Messiah, who has yet to believe on the Savior of all men, especially them that believe that today would even be the day of their salvation, we pray, dear Lord God, even as this is the work of you, the living God, and men believe on it, whom you've sent. And Lord God, we just praise you for how you will be honored and glorified for your honor, for your glory, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Kenny, if you would now go ahead with the first recording, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
I will now read from The Mind of the Jesuit, Science, Symbols, Dogma, Doctrine by Nelson C. Turner, page. For you who did not already know, that was John F. Kennedy, former President John F. Kennedy. God knows exactly how long before he was assassinated, speaking there concerning secret societies at work in the midst of human government and human affairs. From page 14 of The Mind of the Jesuit, Signs, Symbols, Dogma, and Doctrine by Nelson C. Turner, I now read. The Jesuits, God, is a sinner. So the Jesuit preaches that sinners can become as God, their eyes being opened to their own power by the fruit which he feeds them. He begins where most men would end, enduring harsh conditioning under constant observation by others. And of course, dear listener, again, when we speak of the Jesuits, we speak of that secret society, that Roman Catholic secret society founded by none other than Ignatius Loyola in response to the Reformation as part of the Counter-Reformation. But I continue here from this work by Nelson Turner. He fails to acknowledge, speaking of the Jesuit, he fails to acknowledge openly the sins which his mischief has enticed others to commit. Oh, we shall allow them even sin. They are weak and helpless, and they will love us like children because we allow them to sin. We shall tell them that every sin will be expiated, if done with our permission, that we may allow them to sin because we love them, and the punishment for these sins we take upon ourselves. And we will take it upon ourselves, and they will adore us as their Savior who has taken on themselves, or who have taken on themselves their sins before God, and they will have no secrets from us. And this was taken from the brothers Karamazov, the Grand Inquisitor, by Dostoevsky. I tried to say that name the best that I could. And Nelson C. Turner continues here, page 14 of his right. The sins and crimes the Jesuit moves men to engage in become their own, and he can smugly watch as they are taken captive by the devil, cheerfully ignoring their shrieks of terror and pain. The tear of sorrow, the pangs of remorse, or regretful looking back are all unknown to the devil, and these common human emotions are absent or suppressed in the good Jesuit who has professed the fourth vow and is ever willing to do evil that good may come. He believes it is necessary to do many things to which we may be naturally adverse, to do many contrary to our nature and even our conscience. And this was taken from dealings with the Inquisition or Papal Rome, her priest, and her Jesuits by former prior of the Dominican Order, Giacinto Kitty. Page 118, quoting a Jesuit speaking to him. And Nelson C. Turner continues, "In forsaking God, he has forsaken man. Having broken the first table of the law, the first five of the Ten Commandments, he lives to break the second table, the second five. Forsaking the two commandments upon which hang the law and the prophets, his order is both a law and a prophet unto itself. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Brother Kenny, if you would now go on with the next recording, please.
Okay, just one sec. All right, here we go.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a privilege and a pleasure to come before you, and I would request that you would do two things for us here. Grow the size of our site so we can become more of a political force, and do that with other sites too. And then, most of all, share these videos with people that desperately need to see the truth. And if anything, we're being conservative here. I'm reading stuff around the net. Even Breitbart sometimes goes out on the ledge where I'm not willing to. And I love Breitbart, believe me. I think it's one of the more dependable sources that are out there. But people are ramping up what they are observing. People are ramping up their allegations against this administration. Treason is a commonplace allegation. I think it's well-founded given congressional investigations findings. But my goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen, what Robert F. Kennedy said on an interview in Newsmax, someone sent to me, I had one of those holy you-know-what moments. I couldn't believe he was this blunt. I know it to be true, but he talked about his uncle and his father. And we're going to talk about that here because this is a topic that I know a fair amount about. You know who I am. You know what we do here. Dave Hodges, host of the Common Sense Show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. We are brought to you by Keto Elevate. How is your weight loss plan going? I know, it's a tough question. We all deal with it. We all struggle with it. 40% of us plus listed weight loss as our number one goal on our New Year's resolution. And we have good intentions, but sometimes we're just not able to find the right answers. Well, Keto Elevate is the right answer. Let me show you this little subtitle right here. The MCT oil right here. That's what does the trick. In all keto diets that are successful, the MCT oil is at the center of what they do. And you're saying, well, what do you mean? And I'm saying, this is what causes you to lose weight. If you change nothing in your lifestyle, calories in, calories out, stay the same, you will still lose weight taking this product. And you're going, whoa, that's pretty good. They guarantee the results. 60-day money-back guarantee. Huge discount available. Huge. Absolutely over half off while supplies last. So you're risking nothing, and it works. And it's not rigid like the keto diet itself, because you can have a carb or two, and you don't have to start over. Go to ketowithhodges.com. That's ketowithhodges.com. Well, on this interview with Greg Kelly, RFK Jr., who I like a lot of things about him. We disagree wholeheartedly about his approach to guns, but I like a lot of things he's saying. But I will tell you this. He's a Kennedy. He knows this is his family legacy. He knows that his brother, according to him, and I agree with him, was murdered by the CIA. They were the orchestrators of the plot. And they also murdered his father, his uncle, his father, both murdered. You know what's interesting, too, about the three major assassinations in the 60s, actually in all of the 20th century? They were all carried out by a lone nut assassin. Oh, no accomplice whatsoever, according to the reports, right? Orchestrated and written by the CIA. And they all three had a diary that was discovered and in advance convicted these people of their crimes, which they committed by themselves. Coretta Scott King, to her credit, great lady, she came out and said, the person they put in prison for the murder of Martin Luther King was not the murderer of Martin Luther King. She didn't believe the BS. The Kennedys don't believe the BS. You shouldn't believe the BS. When, before I was ever in the media, and I was doing my thing, you know, teaching my classes, being a coach, I got fascinated by the subject. And I was introduced to Jim Mars by the late Bill Pollack. And Jim and I became friends, good friends. And he really educated me. I came with quite a bit of knowledge, though, because ever since my, I'll go back in time. When I was 12, 13 years old, my dad and I were watching a late night show. And it was on after the Tonight Show. And it was called The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder, I believe the host name was. And he had a blacked out face come on the show. They blurred the face. They changed his voice. And he went through the similarities between the three major assassinations. He said, who killed one, killed them all. And I looked at my dad. He goes, that's right, son. He goes, that's absolutely right. I was in junior high at the time, middle school. And that made an impression upon me. And I made it my business to read everything I could read about the Kennedy assassination. And I remember when the House Select Committee on Assassinations came out and says, oh, Oswald didn't act alone. Truth is, Oswald didn't act at all. But at least they pointed to the fact it was definitely a conspiracy arrived at by a police motorcycle that was stuck, a radio was stuck in the on position, and they were able to hear the shots and determine this wasn't one shooter. Let me tell you what Robert Kennedy said on Greg Kelly's show today. He said CIA orchestrated the plot. They're absolutely right. Alan Dulles was the mastermind. They're the ones that actually coordinated to lessen Kennedy's Secret Service protection, which should have been on the grassy knoll, which where the fatal headshot was fired. Should have done a walkthrough of all the buildings in Dealey Plaza prior to the motorcade coming in. Should never have been on Houston to Elm in Dealey Plaza, because to go around the Texas Book Depository building, the motorcade had to slow down to 14 miles per hour. Illegal under Secret Service rules and regulations. and Kennedy's car was the lead car. Are you kidding me? And Johnson, who I've always believed was involved, was in the back car, little chicken little. There were so many things wrong. Open windows, which you don't do. That's been policy and protocol since the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Everything was done wrong. Kennedy's compromised. Kennedy's killed. And I partnered with Jim for a long time, and I found a couple things. He found a couple things. Let me just say this. The CIA was in bed with the mafia, who they were trying to kill Fidel Castro on Operation Mongoose. They took that plot and turned it on Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy learned this as the attorney general. He had threatened when he was running for president in 1968 and was leading in the Democratic primary. He threatened, I'm going to reopen the investigation of my brother and I'm going to end Vietnam. Oh, my. Can't let that guy survive. So when he won California, he was executed as he walked through the kitchen back to towards his hotel room. CIA operation all the way. Alan Dulles, I said, coordinated the whole thing. They brought in the mafia, who brought in their own foreign mafia assets from Marseille, France, the old French heroin connection. Remember the Gene Hackman movie from 1971 called The French Connection? That's what they brought in. And I'll give you a little teaser here. Sometime, you know, we have to go over to the TV show and pick up on this broadcast. Well, I've done an extensive interview with Jim DiEugenio, one of the great experts on the Kennedy assassination. I did a number with Jim Mars. And I'm convinced that the shooter was Lucien Sarti of the Corsican Mafia, which is part of this French heroin trafficking. The contract went from Trafficante, American Mafia, Carlos Marcello, American Mafia, and they took it to foreign mafia assets so they could have plausible deniability. And Christian David turned it down, but he gave it to Sarti. I won't go into all the details, but there were three hit teams in Dallas that day. That point, I think we all agree on that point. But the CIA had their finger on it the whole way. But not only did they have their finger on it with regard to the execution of the plot, it's one thing to carry it out. It's another thing to cover it up for 60 years. Under the law, all Kennedy assassination documents should have already been released, unredacted. That hasn't been done. Why? Probably because the CIA has institutional responsibility and could be sued by surviving members of the Kennedy assassination if the truth ever came out. They don't want that kind of scandal. No president wants to stand next to a disgraced CIA over this. So when we look at this here, this is what Robert Kennedy means when he said the CIA did what they did. I'm just giving you a teaser. CIA covered up the autopsy. Do you know they lost the brain? Yeah, the most important autopsy in the 20th century. The brain of the assassinated president goes to Bethesda, Maryland. It was the autopsy was performed by two guys named Boswell and Humes. They had never done a gunshot autopsy before. What? Yeah, you heard me. And they were ordered to burn their notes when they were done. And they were being directed by mysterious men, two men in suits. They weren't even in charge of the autopsy. They chose two rookies, two people had never done this. It was a flipping joke. And because of the kind of bullets that Sarti used, hollow point, they couldn't cover up the crime with surgery, so they had to lose the brain. And they lost the brain. And then the CIA made up this wild, fantastical story that says, oh, the Kennedy family took the brain home with them. Who in their right mind would even believe a nonsense story like this? And, you know, the FBI, you think the FBI is bad today? Let's go back to James Grodin. I'll just tell this story before I close. James Grodin worked at Time Life. In the late hours. Now, Time Life bought the only video of the Kennedy assassination from Abraham Zapruder. So we see frames 222, 223, 224 as Kennedy shot ahead. That was Zapruder. Shot the whole thing. He sold it for $10,000 to Time Life. Fair amount of money for 1963 and for a dressmaker. And the film sat in Time Life. Now, a copy was distributed to the media, and what they showed was Kennedy's head going forward. Whoa, wait a minute. James Roden put that original film on late at night. Oh, his story is so compelling. And he looked at it and he goes, oh my goodness. The president's head goes back and to the left. As the president's driving this way, Dealey Plaza is over here, the book depository, they pass it. You ever been to Dealey Plaza, the X where Kennedy shot in the head? The picket fence on the grassy knoll? Back and to the left. And when Kennedy was shot, his wife said, I got my brains in his hand, in my hands. That's the way the debris field would have gone. Hollow point bullet. Massive, massive blow to the brain. In fact, the doctors at Parkland that were never interviewed by the Warren Commission, interesting, right? The trauma surgeons that worked on Kennedy, tried to save his life, were never interviewed. And that's because they said he had a huge hole in the back of his head. You could stick your fist inside of it. 25% of the cerebellum was gone. That's because the bullet came from here. So James Groden discovered this discrepancy. And he began to work and copy and work and copy and work and copy. And he was afraid if anybody had found out what he knew, he'd be a dead man. And he was right. There were over 360 assassinations associated with the Kennedy assassination itself in terms of cover-up. That's been pretty well documented. James Groden got it out to Jim Garrison, who was trying Clay Shaw for the plotting the murder of John Kennedy. Case fell apart because the judge wouldn't allow key evidence. And so as a consequence, and what was really interesting here is that James Groden got this out, and all of a sudden the public saw it back into the left. And here's what the FBI said. The criminal FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, just as criminal as it is today under Christopher Wray, and you wonder why I want to dismantle the FBI. They said, no one should be concerned about the discrepancy in the direction of the president's head when he was shot. It was just a processing error. Processing error that attempted to circumvent all the evidence and make people believe Kennedy was shot from behind, from the sixth floor of the book depository building. The angles are all wrong anyway, but that was the myth they were trying to portray. So in my time in the 90s, when I really got into this, I was into it for pretty much a long time. I started appearing in talk shows, and I was introduced to the right people, and I became, I guess you would say, an expert on this. Jim Mars and Jim DiEugenio are the two best I've ever met in the field, but I can tell you this, the CIA had its fingerprints all over this. And they continue to cover it up today, 60 years later. RFK Jr. is correct. Into the Kennedy family, we're still praying for justice for both John and Bobby. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv. Sign up today. We're teaching you how to survive what's coming.
Think about that, dear listener. Think about that. 360 assassinations connected with the John F. Kennedy assassination alone. You think CIA has been said. CIA, Catholics in action. And whenever you have Catholics in action, you can rest assured there are Jesuits in action. Certainly in a case like this. Reading now from page 16. The Mind of the Jesuit, Signs, Symbols, Dogma, and Doctrine by Nelson C. Turner. The revenge of the Jesuits hath never an end, but with the death of their adversaries and their reproach after their death. And that's a quote taken from a Catholic written document from 1597, recorded in a historical sketch between the Jesuits and the seculars in the reign of Queen Elizabeth. And it was published 1889 in another form by David Nutt, The Strand, London. And there's also a picture here on page 16 in the inaugural parade car on January 20th, 1961, with his wife Jackie and Senator John Sparkman of Alabama. As I read, Kennedy said, "I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act. I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source." That's a quote from September 12, 1960. And another quote, and I read, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings." And that's another quote from John F. Kennedy, April 27, 1961. On page 17 of this writing by Nelson C. Turner, I read, "This and similar statements, JFK made enemies of the Jesuits, claiming his duty as an American superseded allegiance to his church and the Pope." And there's also a photo on page 17 of, and I read here, Jacqueline Lee Bouvier Kennedy receiving the flag that draped her husband's coffin from a Roman Catholic priest. The significance of this photograph from a memorial newspaper supplement highlights the perfidious brass and gall of Jesuit rule, executing presidents, kings, and rulers in broad daylight through intermediaries, only to officiate at their funerals. And again, the quote here, "The revenge of the Jesuits hath never end but with the death of their adversaries and their reproach after their death," quote unquote. Okay, Kenny, next recording, please.
"The biggest threat to your longevity, to your security, to your property, to your life, to your rights, is Joe Biden. You will not believe what he's doing in Ukraine again. He's threatening every living creature on this planet with annihilation. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We are brought to you by Keto Elevate. How's your diet going? Well, I know you need a jump start, right? That's why you're paying attention to this. Well, this is Keto Elevate, and this product contains C8-MCT. That's the key weight loss ingredient in all keto diet. But it's not rigid. This is not the rigid keto diet. This is brought to you by BioTrust. It's flexible, recognizes people on the run. Occasionally, you're not going to eat a perfect meal. But if you do not change anything in your lifestyle and you take this product, you will lose weight. In fact, the people at BioTrust guarantee it. 60-day money-back guarantee, 51% off. What better guarantee could you have? Go to ketowithhodges.com. Free shipping. KetoWithHodges.com, free newsletter, keeps you up to date with latest trends in dieting, nutrition, KetoWithHodges.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration is now taking the world a big step closer to nuclear war. They're introducing a weapon that is horrific and will result in many more Russian casualties, inflaming Putin, and Putin having to appear strong to his people in light of what's gone on recently, Putin will be forced to respond. How far will he go? Tit for tat, probably. Tactical nukes. We retaliate on the NATO side with our nukes. World War III is on. Billions die. What's Biden doing exactly? He's introducing a bomb. Now, that sounds pretty innocuous in a war zone, doesn't it? Except it's a special type of bomb. It's a cluster bomb. So bomb explodes, maybe you kill 20 soldiers. Cluster bomb explodes, maybe you kill 300 soldiers. This is a game changer. This is something Biden has consistently done, where he's killed ceasefire talks. He's encouraged the war. He is spending America into bankruptcy over this war. And in addition, he's inflaming it by, I won't send A1 Abram tanks, and he did. I won't send F-16s, that's provocative, and he did. And now he's sending cluster bombs. the warmongering president. This man is the worst thing that has ever happened to America. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us, make sure you're a member of what we do really well, helping you stay one step ahead of the burning bridge with our in-depth documentaries that are censorship and commercial free. We're getting 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms, and we bring it to you all for the cost of bandwidth. That's right. We don't want to make money on this, but we don't want to lose money either, so we're trying to break even. That's all we ask for. And what we're going to give you in return is a roadmap for survival. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. We'll see you back here next time.
So-called President Joe Biden pushing us closer to World War III. Oh, that's Roman Catholic Joe Biden pushing us closer to World War III. And I read from page 100, The Mind of the Jesuits, Signs, Symbols, Dogma, and Doctrine by Nelson C. Turner. Accountability to God personally in judgment subsequent to death is one of the ostensible things held before the eyes of the one being exercised. He's referring here in the context to the exercises of Ignatius Loyola and the exercises of the Jesuit order. Accountability to God personally in judgment subsequent to death is one of the ostensible things held before the eyes of the one being exercised, but in truth, this precept is thrown aside, the novice becoming accountable to a mere man who has taken the place of the true and living God here on earth. Yeah, you could say that pretty much describes Roman Catholic Joe Biden in terms of who he is submitted to, because he's surely not submitted to the true and living God, that's for sure. Turner goes on, the mind of Ignatius was the mind of a soldier that placed all importance on obedience to a commander, but his mind never comprehended the eternal truth that the author and finisher of the true Christian faith is able to communicate his orders and train his troops directly himself. Intimations of this in his writings are feigned false, as their author was false. Ignatius never learned that Christ lives and moves and has his being in his people, and is able to bring them to an understanding of their duty personally through many various means with and without any man as the channel of communication. And meanwhile, Roman Catholic Joe Biden continues to be a good, obedient puppet for the Jesuit order, the Pope of Rome, and anybody else pulling his strings as they pull their strings. Okay, Kenny, I think we have one more recording yet to do here, and then we're going to go a little bit forward here and have the midway song, but go ahead with the next recording, please.
Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a privilege and a pleasure to come before you, and we really appreciate you being here. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, Noble Gold is the classiest organization I have ever worked with. They can save your retirement from the clutches of the bank. Oh, Dodd-Frank says they can keep it. That's a law passed in 2010. Yeah, you don't own your money when it goes into the bank, retirement or anything else. They can also save your bank account. And you're saying, they can really do that. Well, yeah, what they'll do is they'll put everything under your control and then back it with gold. Government can't touch it. The banks can't touch it. You go, oh, this is the way to go. It really is. I want to send you a free information packet that describes exactly what happens when you convert to Noble Gold IRA, 401k, or other retirement. And the same thing with your bank account. No one's going to bug you. It's no obligation. Just simply go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And fill out the little questionnaire, and then we'll send you out an electronic information packet. Also, too, any qualifying offer will get you one of these great American Gold Eagle coins. Just a way of saying thank you. It's a great for the collection piece. I've got a few because I've done a few of these. Also, we have a situation now where we also want to fulfill our federal requirement. All investments are inherently risky, and past performance cannot be confused with future expectations. We agree with giving that warning. People should proceed with all due caution. I would also say this. I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 5 of the 6 years I've been advertising. So I put my money where my mouth is. I believe in what they do. And I want to help you before the clutches of CBDC fully engulf us and make us basically forfeit our options. DaveHodgesGold.com. All right. We have a situation here. It's just absolutely amazing to me that we're still dealing with this kind of nonsense and we're not rising up. We need to become more like France. Not the violence, not the burning the buildings, the overturning the cars, attacking police officers. That's not what I'm advocating for. What I'm saying is that we need to just say no. No more. No new taxes. We're not paying anything on anything. We start systematically boycotting. That's right, starting with anything connected to BlackRock. Why? Because their ESG ratings are wrecking this country. And there's a whole lot we can do. And we have already shown that when the public gets turned off by something, things nosedive. When we take a look at, how about Disney? They've lost $1 billion on their last 8 films. People ain't buying the woke. That's just a fact. And that wasn't even organized. Imagine if this was organized. We could become like France without the violence, and we could bring these behemoth corporations that have overrun our government with Bolshevik communism ideologies. We could overcome all that, and we could do it in weeks. Do you want to stop CBDC? This is the way you do it. Total non-compliance to what's going on. Now, I call this the spirit of 1776. And I can't say that at some point in time that physical altercations won't become part of the landscape. They very possibly could. They were in the times of the Revolution with the unfortunate and ill-advised Stamp Act tax was enacted by Parliament. And basically what ended up happening was the Stamp Act collectors got tarred and feathered. Now, I'm not recommending we do that to the 87,000 IRS agents. They're armed. Don't be take too kindly to that. But my point is, we're doing nothing. The minimum we should be doing is contacting our rep and our 2 senators every single day, saying your political career rides on this. If there aren't impeachments, if there aren't indictments with all the evidence we have. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And every time the Supreme Court makes a ruling or Congress passes a law, you know what ends up happening? Biden says, I'll just find a way around it. And he frequently does. Total lawlessness by this government. So don't tell me what I'm proposing here by withdrawing consent to be governed by these communists. Don't tell me that's illegal. It's not illegal. It's expected under the Constitution. We called it the spirit of 1776 with Englishmen from different backgrounds, different religions, different ideologies. Many of them didn't even like each other. Many were in competition and business against each other. But they all came together under one banner. The desire to be free. And see, all this, if you're white, you must hate black, and if you're black, you must hate white, and Asian kids can't go to elite colleges, there's just too many of you people around. And all these divide and conquer nonsense divisions need to be ignored, and we need to realize, regardless of your status, regardless of your background, you have communists running this country into the ground, and it's intentional. And if we don't unite, despite our differences in background, doesn't matter, gay, straight, black, white, rich, poor, doesn't matter. If we don't unite, you're going to be a slave under CBDC. The spirit of 1776 needs to come into the forefront, and it needs to come now. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us, make sure you're a member of what we do really well. In-depth documentaries brought to you at the cost of bandwidth with expert guests, plotting a charted course for you where you can overcome these obstacles that are thrown your way designed to impoverish you and enslave you. That's the commonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today.
The divide and conquer. Oh, it's a big part of the Jesuit philosophy, and ultimately the big part of the ultimate philosophy of their father, the devil. And ultimately, even as Jesus had his encounter, if you recall, with the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, can we read, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And verse 19 down through verse 24, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And of course, dear listener, no doubt that very one to whom she was speaking, who was speaking to her, was that prophet like unto Moses. And yet, Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh as the Son of God, form of the Son of Man. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to emphasize, though, verse 22 of John 4 and what Jesus says here. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. See, Dave, there in that clip you just heard, he talked about this whole satanic philosophy of divide and conquer. See, Satan and his children, like the Jesuits of Rome, they're all about dividing and conquering based on race, whereas the living God, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he is all about uniting. Uniting race, and uniting the races, the tribes of the earth, the races, based on truth, even the salvation, which is of the Jews. So, even as Satan seeks to divide and conquer based on the spirit of lies, tries to divide and conquer humanity, the races, God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they try to unite based on truth, the races, through the salvation, which is of the Jews. So, on that note, now I'm going to hand it over here to this dear brother in the Lord, Tim Behrens is his name. He is now going to share with you a little bit about what the Lord has done through us thus far here since we have been together here in Israel this time again. We were just in Jerusalem yesterday with our dear friend and brother in the Lord, Mike Cahill, and he'll be coming back Sunday, Lord willing, this coming Sunday. We'll be spending some more time together through Monday. And he's going to share with you a little bit of what is yet ahead and what has already been wrought. And we look forward to seeing God yet do. So this is Mr. Tim Behrens.
Thank you, 1 Timothy. I call him 1 Timothy. I'm 2 Timothy. I am so grateful for your stand against Rome. Very few people will do that today. Very few pastors will do that today. I used to read the news for Billy Graham at his radio station back in North Carolina in 1971. And years later, I was working for KBRT in Southern California. And Jay Vernon McGee was going to be interviewed by our afternoon man, Rich Bueller. And he was just sitting there. And I thought, boy, I'm going to take a few minutes and see if I can talk to him and get something on tape. And I said, Dr. McGee, Billy Graham back in 1948 said the three greatest threats to our society are communism, Catholicism, and Mohammedanism. That's what they called it back then, Islam. But by the mid-50s, he was sending people back to the Catholic Church, even back to the Mormon Church, according to Sandra Tanner, who had a ministry to Mormons. I said, how is that possible? And I'll never forget what McGee said. He said, well, he didn't do that at the 1949 Los Angeles Crusade because I was in charge of the decision cards, and I sent the new believers back to Bible-believing churches. I still remember the headlines when Billy Graham died. in the USA Today. It says, America's pastor dies. I cannot imagine them saying that about the Apostle Paul when he died. How can any Christian look at 1 Timothy 4, the first four verses? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Anybody reading that and not knowing and believing that's the Catholic Church is blind. And I remember one more thing about Catholicism here. I remember doing an interview with Richard Bennett, who founded BrianBeacon.org. He went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. He was a Catholic priest for 22 years. And I asked him, I said, Richard, when you were in the seminary, was there a lot of homosexuality? He said the seminary was loaded with homosexuals. And, of course, you never hear about a Roman Catholic priest molesting a child in the media today. That is covered up. But you would ask me about what the Lord is doing here with us. I'm so thrilled to be here in Tel Aviv for a few days with Tim Gruber and our friend Pilot Mike Cahill, and to be able to be at the Western Wall yesterday and to hand out tracts. We were handing out Love the Jewish People, and you can read that at chick.com. We had it in Hebrew, and we have another tract called Sin City, which deals with Sodom and Gomorrah. And in light of what's going on today, it's a perfect track to get to students and anybody. And we're going to be handing that out tomorrow, where there are a major amount of homosexuals or sodomites. And we want to reach them for the Lord. And it is possible for these folks to get saved. I had a friend that was a transformed transsexual. His name was Perry Desmond. He was a guy who became a girl, had breasts and everything, got saved, and then had the breasts removed and was a powerhouse for the Lord. There are some churches that wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, but churches that had him wanted him back. And he wrote a book called Perry Desmond, the Transformed Transsexual. And it's out of print now, but you could probably get it on Amazon somewhere. But God can set people free. Do you know what? It's amazing to me how God can even use somebody like me. My dad was a Baptist preacher, and I was kicked out of the Bob Jones University for drinking two cans of Colt 45 and failed every course at Columbia Bible College except choir. Got kicked out of the Air Force because I was going to be joining the Nazi Party. My best friends were Jews and blacks. We were the only integrated table at Wiesbaden, the air base there, when Dr. King was killed in 1968, our cities were burning back in the States, and I had another friend who said, the problem is the Jews and the blacks. We get rid of the Jews and send the blacks back to Africa, we won't have any more problems. Well, I stupidly started getting stuff from the American Nazi Party and started believing it. I didn't hate my friends, but I hated the Jews and the blacks out there. And I remember I was at the Armed Forces parade there at the Air Force Base, and I gave a Sieg Heil salute to the commander, and he called me in, and he says, Airman Behrens, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm just trying to do the best I can, sir. Well, they gave me a general discharge under honorable conditions, and if I had said I was trying to get out, it extended 18 months to go to Germany. I was trying to get out, I think they would have given me dishonorable or undesirable. I went back home and I was talking to my Baptist preacher father about how the Jews own this and the Jews own that. And Dad listened very patiently. When I finished, he said, Tim, a person cannot be a Christian and hate the Jews. I said, how come? He says, Jesus is Jewish. And then I heard another pastor say, every spiritual blessing we have, we owe to the Jewish people. He said, if there were no Jewish people, there'd be no patriarchs, no prophets, no disciples, no Bible, no Messiah. Jesus himself said salvation is of the Jews in John 4:20. And to show you how the Lord healed me, I was doing an interview with Pat Buchanan, who had run for president and always been hostile towards Israel, former Jesuit. And I said, Pat, I agree with a lot of what you stand for, but I disagree with your stand on Israel. He said, oh, really? And a listener called up and said, Tim, I think you love Israel more than you love the United States. If we were in a war with Israel, who would you side with? I thought, what a great question. I said, I'd side with Israel. He said, see, that's what I'm talking about. And the Lord just dropped this into my mind. I said, sir, the Bible says in Zechariah 12:3, the whole world will come against Israel, and God will side with Israel. Now, whose side would you want to be on? And he hung up. And so I'm grateful to be here, because the Bible says to go into the world and preach the gospel to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that's why we're here, and that's why we were delighted to be at the Western Wall. While we were on the subway car heading over there, the Lord had me read Isaiah 53. Pilot Mike suggested I do that, and so I yelled that out, Isaiah 53. That's a wonderful chapter for our Jewish friends, because that talks about Jesus buried in a rich man's grave. You ask them, okay, they say it's the state of Israel it's talking about in Isaiah 53, but ask them, you know, the chapter says that the person's buried in a rich man's grave. Is that talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, or is that talking about Jesus? It's obviously talking about Jesus. And what's so thrilling is that we can do these things. We can hand out tracts here in Tel Aviv, gospel tracts. The Orthodox go ballistic. But, you know, when you read Psalm 91, there's just some wonderful verses in there about how the Lord protects you. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, one of the first times I really enjoyed the peace of God in that situation was over a half century ago. I was working for WMBI in Chicago, and I was handing out tracts. I had heard Arthur Blessed, the minister of Sunset Strip, and Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, talking about handing out tracts, and I thought, I'm going to do that. So I went down to Bughouse Square in Chicago, where a lot of bums are, and I gave a fella a gospel tract, and he grabbed my jugular vein, and he started pressing on it, and he said, I could kill you right now. He said, you know what I used to do? And he stuck out his tongue. A fourth of his tongue was missing. He said, I was a prize fighter. My name is Billy Kahn. They called me Big Bad Billy Kahn. I knocked down Joe Lewis. He said, I could kill you right now. And I just had such peace in my heart. And I said, Billy, you could kill me right now, and my body would be on the ground, but my soul would be in heaven. Where are you going to be, Billy, when you die? And he took his hand off my jugular vein when I said that. And years later, I watched a documentary called Faces of Death on how different people had died. And some were one of the clips was these black fellas that were being shot. They're going to be shot by this firing squad. And there were about five or six of them tied to a pole. And some of them were really shaking like crazy, but others were real calm. And I thought, I know who the calm ones are, because you can't threaten a Christian with heaven. You shoot me, I'm home with the Lord. But boy, if you don't know the Lord, that's incredible. You don't want to be there. I tell people about Dr. Maurice Rawlings, who wrote a book called Beyond Death's Door. He was a cardiologist who was an atheist, and he became a Christian. He became a Christian when he was resuscitating people, and they were seeing hell. And I'm thinking, you know, why? Why wouldn't everybody, when they see what Jesus has done and he see who Jesus is, why wouldn't they turn to him and turn from their sin? And he's written a book called Beyond Death's Door. You can see some of his stuff on YouTube. Dr. Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, Rawlings. And I'll go to wakes. I've gone to a wake with tracts where somebody has died, a fellow I knew. And I said to him, I said to the people sitting there, you know, Bob would want you to read this. Anyway, getting, I just want to encourage you to, if you love the Lord, to reach people for Christ. You know, you're either a mission field or a missionary. Those aren't my words. Those are D.L. Moody's line. But when I hand out tracts, I've probably handed out a million tracts in the last half century. But I've had Christians hand a tract back to me, and they say, well, you know, this is your gift. And I give them the D.L. Moody line. You're either a mission field or a missionary. So I hope you'll be faithful in serving the Lord. And whatever the Lord is leading you to do, I have been banned from Mormon churches in the United States. I've been to 15 Mormon wards, 15 Mormon churches on Testimony Sunday, sharing my Christian testimony. And they finally found out where I lived and sent a letter to the house and said, if you show up at any, this is their law firm in Salt Lake City, if you show up at any more Mormon churches, you will be arrested. You'll be arrested for talking to Mormon missionaries. Well, I don't worry about that. I've talked to them anyway. I haven't been back to the Mormon wards, but I know God used what I did. And if God can use me, God can use you. Well, the verse that changed my mind on that, and that blew me away on how God can use me, and you, if you're willing to be used by him, is Acts 4:13. It's talking about the Sanhedrin. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and noticed that they had been with Jesus. So if you love the Lord, you want to tell others about him and reach them while you can. I'm 77 and a half. I hope God gives me another 20 years to tell people about Jesus and his salvation. Thank you, Tim, for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Mr. Behrens, for your sharing. In Romans chapter 15, starting verse 1 down through verse 4, the Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of the Church at Rome, declares, writes, "We then, that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You heard Mr. Behrens there talk about how the one brother, the one individual rightfully pointed out, we have the Jewish people to be thankful for, above all, the King of the Jews, but the Jewish people as well, for it was through them that ultimately he came and ultimately gave us the Scriptures. You jump down in Romans 15 down to verse 24, down through verse 29. Paul writes under inspiration, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For that pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Titus 3:5 declares, it's not by which righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Revelation 21 verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Brother Kenny, if you would please play our midway song.
Get on board, trains about to leave and sailing up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late, cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road to lead to the promised land. We have the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board.
This train is here, everybody draw near and listen to the gospel call. If you ride this train, you got a lot to gain.
And the Lord wants to take us all.
We're gonna ride on time. We will never say goodbye to the one who paid the price to ride.
You better get your ticket, cause you don't wanna miss. It's gonna be the ride of your life. Get on board the train's about to leave, and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late, cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road that leads to the promised land. We have to have in the hand of Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train. Don't take nothing but the righteous and the holy. This train is bound for glory, this train. We're not going to stop, till we get to the mountain top. We're going to see the Lord. Get on board, the train's about to leave, and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board, and don't be late, cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road that leads to the promised land. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Oh, everybody get on board.
So, tell me, dear listener, is your train bound for glory?
I can say amen to that. Okay, hold on, Tim. We're getting you right back here. Hold on. You're back on, Tim.
Again, dear listener, I ask, is your train bound for glory? Romans 3:23 says, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. Mark chapter 9, starting in. 2 down through verse 50. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. They're warm, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their warmth dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into the hell fire, where their warmth dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one should be salt with fire, and every sacrifice should be salt with salt. Salt lost to salt is wherewith ye season it. Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. And in Mark 10, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read down through 2, verse 15. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? Command you. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorce, but to put her away. Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Verse 6. Mark 10 again declares, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. He made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam, Steve, he did not make Molly and Eve. And verse 10 through 15. And in the house, his disciples asked him again the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So, you're not 100% sure that your train is bound for glory, as it's given unto you from heaven. I pray by God's grace, through faith in that not of yourself, you would be found of those who humble themselves as little children, and in doing so, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names, be saved. For it's written, Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Romans 5:8-9, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Romans 6:3, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God made them male and female. Now I'm going to read. Gay pride. You're kidding. Sodom's pride is what got them fried. Gay pride. You're kidding. Sodom's pride is what got them fried. Ezekiel 16:49-50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Dear friend, I can honestly say that I'm seeing things in America I never thought I would ever see, even though the Word of God gives us a description of the spiritual and moral corruption that will be rampant in the last days leading up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 4, starting in verse 37, down through verse 39. Jesus speaking, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Luke 17:28-30. Jesus speaking, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Delusional thinking, demonic activity, and religious hypocrisy. Example, I just read an article stating that some of the leading religious leaders in America have announced their acceptance of the LGBTQ movement. This announcement lends no credibility to this satanic movement, but rather destroys any credibility these so-called religious leaders might have had. Please remember, these individuals are religious leaders, not true biblical preachers, pastors, or even true Christians. Example, we now have a justice on the Supreme Court that was unable to state what a biological woman is. If this individual was being honest rather than sitting on the highest judicial court in America, they should be sitting in a padded cell. I personally think most of these people are lying and spouting this nonsense in order to please and remind you that those Roman Catholic Jesuits I was speaking about again earlier and reading about from that work by Nelson C. Turner exposing them, they are also the ones that the devil used to start that very phenomenon known as communism via the likes of Karl Marx. And I continue here with this. So I read here from this gay pride, your kidding, Sodom's pride is what got them fried. As I give you this example, it will lead me to the subject of this booklet, Gay Pride. Many would say this is a controversial issue or a complicated issue, but for someone's mind, it is neither controversial nor complicated. The King James Bible is very clear on this issue. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, down through the end of the chapter. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like. 2. Corruptible man into birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. truth of God until you lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The phrase gay pride itself is a disgusting distortion of truth and an offense to a holy God, as well as to a decent people. There is nothing gay, happy, cheerful about being a sodomite. They are a sad, miserable, mean-spirited group of people. If the perverse lifestyle of the sodomites is so happy and joyful, explain to me why the suicide rate is so high among this particular group of people. If this lifestyle is so wonderful, then why are they so infested with diseases like AIDS, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, and now the monkeypox virus? Makes you wonder where the CDC will recommend that they should wear their mask to prevent the spread of the monkeypox virus. What they desperately need is to hear the biblical truth concerning the sin of sodomy, and that forgiveness and grace is available for those willing to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The second part of the phrase gay pride also begs for a reality check. It's one thing to be thankful for America and feel your heart stir when you see Old Glory flying, or maybe to feel a measure of satisfaction over a job well done. But the man of the Sodomites used the word pride is far different. Let us consider what the Word of God says about pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Not only is the Sodomite lifestyle sinful and repulsive to decent people, but it is an offense to Almighty God. For them to hold parades and carry banners boasting about their sin is beyond despicable. For them to choose the rainbow, a symbol God used to confirm his promise, Genesis 9, verse 13, as an emblem of their demonic movement, reveals it is satanic. To see the Sodomites parading in the streets makes me think of the Sodomites parading around Lot's house, Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. The satanic goal of the Sodomite movement is not to be accepted, but rather to be empowered. And if you are unwilling to accept this perversion, God and all decent people to denounce this sinful behavior. Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5, 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If you know someone trapped in this sinful lifestyle, pray for them and tell them the Lord Jesus Christ will set them free, John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8, verse 36. If the Son, Jesus, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Dear friend, if you are ensnared by this sinful lifestyle or any other sinful lifestyle, drugs, alcohol, immorality, please consider the eternal consequences of your sin, and eternity in hell awaits those who refuse to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I would just also add a little something here in light of something he pointed out here. The Sodomite lifestyle, sinful and repulsive to decent people, but it is an offense to Almighty God. For them to hold parades and carry banners boasting about their sin is beyond despicable. And if that's not despicable enough, there were reports that in New York City they were actually chanting, "We are coming after your kids. We're coming for after your kids." That's not even more despicable on their part. And indeed it is. Abominations. Abominations they are. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can set such free, even as he was the only one that could set you or I free, dear listener. Now, Psalm 91. And actually, Kenny, I'm actually going to have you go ahead and just play that next clip now that we were going to do a little bit later originally before invitation, that one about the, I believe it's the testimony of that guy that got saved out of Islam, please.
Here we go. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I said it like 8 times screaming, and my soul told me, you're wrong, it's not true. You are going to hell for eternity. So as I'm falling so fast down, It's pitch black. All I see is this white light flying around me in circles fast. First, I want to thank you all for being here. It's an honor and a pleasure, and it means a lot to me. And you guys can be doing anything you guys want to be doing right now instead of listening to a guy like me. But I never thought in a million years that I would be in this position that I'm in right now, right here at this very moment. And I wouldn't have done it for $1 million, but I'm doing it for Jesus because he's worth everything to me. My story is a really long story, so I'm going to try to make it as short as I can, since my uncle took a lot of the time from me. It all began when I was 12 years old. Me and my brother, we used to share a bedroom together. My bed was against the wall because I have OCD, so I don't like being around open areas. I have to have a wall or something. And his bed was by a closet, which I was terrified of, and open. So one night, I told him, I go, Bilal, I want to sleep in your bed tonight. And he knows how I am, so, and I was thinking in my head, why am I even asking him this? You know, I'm like, what's going on? So, we just said, okay, so I slept on his bed. And what I'm going to tell you guys is 100% true, and there's more to it, but I'm only going to mention the things that I remember clearly. So I was sleeping, and I hear my name 2 times. And when I opened my eyes, I got terrified, and I jumped off my bed. When I jumped off the bed, I can see the floor, and I'm hovering above the floor, like inches. And I'm looking from the corner of my eye because I can't move my body. And I see just the room is lit. And so then I feel this electric shock running through my body, and I feel my body coming back up. And as I'm coming up, as I reach the top of my mattress, I seen him with his hand doing this. So as he was doing this, my body was moving at the same motion of his hand, and he sat me down. And the first thing he said to me, do not be afraid. And how ironic is this? The first thing that punched me in my face when I opened the Bible was in Matthew, do not be afraid. And then the second thing he said was, do you know who I am? And let me tell you guys, I was 12 years old. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about anything. All I knew is Allah is my God and Muhammad is my prophet and everybody else is a prophet to me. And that's it. But automatically, I said, you're Jesus. And I felt him smile. And we were talking not like how I'm talking with the voice. It was through our mind, telepathy. So when he told me, do not be afraid, and do you know who I am? And I said, Jesus, and I seen a smile. He was talking, and I couldn't believe it. So I'm like, there's no way this can't be real. And at the same time I said that, he says to me, this is real. And I looked, and I'm looking through him, and I could see through him, and I see my brother's body breathing and moving as he's sleeping. And that's how I knew. I was like, wow, this is real. I can't believe this. So I was scared. I was 12 years old. If I told anybody this, they would go crazy. I never told anybody for years and years. I kept it in my heart and myself. So moving on through my life, I denied it. I never looked back. I always remembered it, but I was Muslim and I was proud to be Muslim. So fast forward. All through my life, every time I prayed or every time at a funeral I prayed for somebody or at night, I always see that vision, and I hear him in my heart telling me, remember me, remember me. That's all I ever heard throughout my life, every time, remember me. So 30 years go by. Now I'm at 42, February 1st, 2020. I'll never forget this night. I said my fatiha before I went to bed. Ask Allah to please guide me, be with me, keep me safe like I always do every day. And this time he got sick of me ignoring him, and he, like, literally let me feel what death was, because I'm 44 years old. I had so many dreams in my life. I know what dream is, and I know what real is. And this was far from any kind of dream that I can ever imagine. So I died, and I was in this black abyss, falling so fast, and I was so scared. And the first thing I said was the Shahada. I was screaming, and I can't scream it like I did in my dream because the cops will be here. But I screamed, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. I said it like 8 times screaming, and my soul told me, you're wrong, it's not true, you are going to hell for eternity. And let me tell you something, guys, I cannot even explain it in words. The feeling of what hopelessness is doesn't compare to the hopelessness you feel in this world. You feel it a million times worse. And I got chills. I'm sorry. I never did this before, so bear with me. So as I'm falling so fast down, it's pitch black. All I see is this white light flying around me in circles fast. And I'm falling. I knew it was my guardian angel. And this guardian angel's voice was the only way I can explain it to you in life is it's the most scariest and the most beautiful voice in one. That's the only way I can explain this angel's voice. And it was coming from this ear to this ear, back and forth. Amir, you have to listen to me. Please, please. And this angel was so desperate for me. He was like, please, you have to listen to me. You have to tell him he can still hear you. Tell Jesus to save you before your soul leaves your body. You have to tell him this before your soul leaves your body. Hurry, hurry, do it now, do it. And I'm still, and like, while I'm falling, I'm like, there's no way, how can this be? How? You know, I'm even still denying him even in that moment. And I'm looking down, and I see another, like, a portal, a pit. And right before I went in that pit, I said, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And a big boom and a flashlight, my soul came right into my body. It felt like a truck hit me. And my body came out of my bed. And I'm like, oh, I'm sweating everywhere. I'm like, oh, my God, like, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what happened. This is like 3 in the morning. I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe this. Wow. And I'm crying. I'm doing this and this. And me being the stubborn OCD person that I am, I wasn't like my uncle brave enough to get on my knees and ask Jesus to save me. So I said to myself, there's no way this is happening to me. There's no way I'm going to read the Quran. There's no way I got to read the Quran. It can't be happening. So I took 8 months to read the Quran from February 1st all the way to about October. But as I was reading the Quran, I would read it. And as I'm reading it, all I hear is it more intense. The only one who can save you, you have to tell him. It's all I keep hearing. And then when I came to the verse about the crucifixion of Jesus, that's when it sealed the deal for me. There is no way possible that the Almighty God will deceive and trick billions and trillions and billions of people that believed in Jesus. Because remember, Islam is 600 years after. So there's trillions and billions of people that lived 600 years, within a 600-year span that believed in Jesus Christ. What about those people? Did they go to hell because they were Muslim? Okay? Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And he did so much for me, and he saved me. And I owe him my life. I owe him everything. As long as I could just reach one person and help that one person to seek, and that's all that matters to me. Jesus says, one lost sheep is worth more than the 99. And he will seek out that sheep if you seek him. And I love him, and I'm so grateful and so gracious for him. So I wrote something, some things that I hope I can still see it. But I titled it Jesus Happened because everybody that knows me, I did a lot of things in my life. I was a bad boy. This used to be my stopping grounds, believe it or not, this park right here that we're standing in. And I don't know, but he did not want me to go to hell. That's all I know. I know he loved me so much, and he loves everybody so much. He did get crucified for and died for our sins so that way we can have eternal life. And that's the key, eternal life. You know how beautiful that is to have eternal, to know, not to think, but to know that we have eternal life. When I was Muslim, no matter what I did, I didn't have hope because I still knew that no matter how many times I prayed and stuff, I know my sins were outweighing that and I can never reach that goal, that pinnacle. And I'm not better than a Hajj that went to the Hajj and did all the five pillars. I can't be like, I'm nothing compared to him. So how is God even going to look at me? And sure enough, come to find out, he didn't even look at me. He departed from me right away. And that's what I was trying to say about the hopelessness. That I can't emphasize it so much. Hopelessness, the feeling of being hopeless is hell, more worse than hell itself, believe it or not. So this is what I wrote. I keep back no part of the precious truth. Oh, yeah, I see it. Thank you, brother. The precious truth, but I speak what I know and I testify what I seen and heard with my eyes and my ears. I don't let darkness or possible unbelief of my friends and family weigh one moment in the scale. I stand here before all of you to tell you what great things God showed me and did for me. Jesus is so glorious, so beautiful. All light inside of light. People ask me, when you see Jesus, what do you look like? What do you look like? All I can tell you is he's a light in a light. That's all there is to know about him. He's all light, all glory. Jesus gave me the love, the healing, rest, and security that 42 years of being a Muslim never even came close to. Man. By the miracle of the Spirit of God, which the Spirit of God is who else but Jesus. I see so clear now. My eyes have been opened. There is nothing you can do to make yourself right before the Holy God. Only Jesus could accomplish this. Acts of religion and good works represent our attempts to bridge the divide between us and the Holy God. They will never work. No matter what you're going to do, we can never come to the holiness of God. Adam did one sin and God kicked him out. One sin. We do many every single day. If we cannot know Jesus was crucified, we can know nothing about history at all. Christ's death on the cross is the most certain fact of anyone in history. When I accepted Jesus into my heart, I was in a different world. Everything was different to me. It was like walking on a cloud. I felt a complete transformation in my mind and in my heart. When I seen Jesus, I felt an energy coming out of his hand, going straight through my body. My whole body started to shake like electricity from the power coming from him. I know when I die, I will be with the same Jesus whom I saw, heard, and talked to. He doesn't lie, and he doesn't break promises. He promises eternal life to the ones who believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. It was all for us, that who shall believe will have eternal life. I considered myself a proud Muslim. For people that say, oh, you know, that might watch this video, that I might be a fake Muslim, just to show you that I used to wear this and show this off proudly. It says, Allahu Akbar Islam, just to show that this is not a game. So I consider myself a proud Muslim, but I still could not renounce the possibility of the reality of Jesus. It was not even within my power to do so. Jesus never left my thought, not even for a second. Some might think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. I seen and heard too much to not believe. When I seen Jesus, I knew instantly it was him. I don't know how I knew, only I knew it was Jesus. No words can ever describe that feeling. So many near-death accidents happened to me throughout my life. Though I didn't know it at the time, it was entirely supernatural. Only he could have done it. All my life, he had been protecting me, leading me on the path to himself. And this is where I am today. To tell everybody that without Jesus, you have no hope, you have no life, you have no peace, you have no love. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the life giver, the life taker. And without him, nothing can ever be done. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, for saving me. And thank you all for being here. And I love every one of you. Thank you so much.
Here in Luke 12, starting in verse 1, down through verse 9. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after ye hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall torment him shall the Son of Man best. God, before men by sin, and so death has to pass. And 3:16. So, he gave his Son that he would actually count that message to be over to fornication. No fire. And the new server is not a fire. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son to have everlasting life. Amen. Ruth. Psalm in the past, I would encourage you to do that for myself. But here, Psalm 91, I'm going to read down through the whole psalm. Abide under the shadow. Can you honestly say that you abide under the shadow of the living God, washed in his blood, cleansed from all sin? Continuing to verse. The Lord, he is my fortress, my God, in him. He shall deliver thee from the noise. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth, sword and buckler. Indeed, the life of the Father, but thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walk, nor for the at noonday at thy side. Thou shalt not. Let me just also read the word of God in this text. It's through the giving. Thanking him for his words, claiming those promises, claiming those wealth as you pray and give thanks back to him. The reward of the wicked. And indeed, listen, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come out of thy dwelling. And even so, as you recall, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest in John 17, praying that high priestly prayer there in John 17. He prayed that the Father would take us not out of the world, but would keep us from the evil. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge of thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. 1 Peter 5:8 speaks of the devil and commands us to be sober, to be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, but it's written, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. And even so, Revelation 12. It's written in Revelation 12, came in, speaking about overcoming the devil, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And the book of Romans, the word of God speaks of how God is going to bruise Satan under our feet shortly. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Have you set your love upon the most holy, the Holy One of Israel, the living God, the one true God, by faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say that you know his name, even as you know him, and that he knows your name, even as he knows you as one of his sheep, for whom the good shepherd giveth his life? John chapter 10. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Romans 10:13 declares, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 16, Psalm 91. With all life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. My salvation, my Yeshua. And so, as we wind down here in this edition of the Word of the King, I would just leave you with that exhortation there, those words of exhortation there from Psalm 91, and encourage you to do again, along with Psalm 64. Let's commit, or if need be, recommit ourselves to, once again, all the more praying upon the Word of God here, and standing on the promises and prayer and worship of the Most High God, and thanking Him for His words, thanking Him for His promises, and all the more walking in holiness before Him, even as He is worthy of the utmost obedience. And on that note, Kenny, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and play the invitation song, and Lord willing, we'll conclude with a word of prayer after that.
Give me a few minutes, Tim, if you can go on a little longer. I had to take a little bathroom break.
Case, we'll go ahead here. Psalm 93. Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The Lord also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. So, on that note,
I already read it.
So, on that note, I'm going to now give it over here to Mr. Behrens here for another 5 minutes, if he wants to comment here on anything from Psalm 91, the words there.
I just want to encourage you. We've been reading Psalm 91 every day. Just before I left, a brother encouraged me to read it, and of course I've known about it, and I've been reading it every day, and it's such an inspiring psalm. You know, God's word is like that. I mean, you can read the same passage over and over and over, and it's just amazing how God's word works. I was ministering in jails and nursing homes before COVID, and I could never understand how a lot of times when I would go into the jail or the nursing home, I felt tired. I didn't want to go in. But when I came out, I was floating on air. I couldn't figure it out. And one day I came across Isaiah 58:10, when you satisfy the desire of the afflicted, your gloom will become like midday. So if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, get out and minister to folks. God will lift up your spirits. And there's no other another book, you know, that is like the Bible. When I would go into the, well, when years ago when I did an interview with George McLean, he had been a Beverly Hills architect, built homes for Elizabeth Taylor and Dean Martin, was a chief architect for Westlake Village. He'd become a born-again Christian. And I said, George, when did you realize the Bible was the Word of God? He said, I was reading Proverbs 6, verse 6. It said, go to the anthill, sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I knew when I read that, we didn't know the working ant was a female until the microscope was invented 200 years before. Then I read in Genesis 17 where Isaac had been circumcised on the eighth day. That's when we circumcise children, baby boys on the eighth day, because the blood coagulates more that day and there's more vitamin K in the blood. Then I read in Jeremiah 33 where it talked about the stars without number. When the Bible was written, science said there was 1,100 stars in the universe. One scientist said there were 1,190. Time after time, science has caught up with the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said the Bible is the best gift God has given man. George Washington said it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible. Theodore Roosevelt said a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Brigham Young of the Mormon Church said, compare the writings of the LDS with Scripture and see if it stands the test. Let's do that. 2 Nephi 25:23 in the Book of Mormon says, we're saved by grace after all we can do. I said, how do you ever know when that is? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, a gift of God, a gift of God, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you don't have that assurance of salvation tonight, we pray that you'll repent of your sin, you'll receive Christ into your heart. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So give your heart to Jesus, and I'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you.
And thank you again, Mr. Behrens. Are you officially ready, Ken?
Yep, I'm ready, Tim.
You can go ahead and play it.
For today?
Well, ultimately, you could just basically call, I I guess today's program, we'll just go ahead and just title with the Psalm. Just call it Psalm 91.
Okay.
Now I'll go ahead and I'll close this in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you again now for this edition of the Word of the King and the opportunity to once again, dear God, bring forth, dear God, your words, your gospel, and to once again hold up the light of your word and expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We just ask you, dear God, now to also, Lord God, go forth, dear God, and all the more, Lord, and all the more. Now, work in hearts, dear God, and use this, dear God, to all the more, Lord. Stir hearts, Lord God, and we do lift up the United States of America and the situation currently, Lord God, throughout the world, Lord God, and we thank you that you are yet in control, dear God, as you always have been and always will be. And we pray, Lord, that we would just all the more daily surrender all to you. Continue to look for the blessed, open, glorious period of you, our great God and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen. And just want to remind everybody, invite them to tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, here at the Success Radio Network, to the Wednesday night Bible study here on the Success Radio Network, and we'll catch you then at 7 p.m. Eastern. God bless everybody, and good night.